You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach, and I'm going to tell you something right now that I'm going to share kind of I'm going to end the great debate today. We're going to finally get to the point of what is better. This has been something that has been argued now for years, decades, something that is, I mean, people get nasty on the internet about this topic. They get downright ugly about the whole thing, and it doesn't have to be that way. There's a clear winner. It's not a big deal, but we're going to discover that. The debate is Whataburger or In-N-Out Burger. Now, I know we've talked about this in the past. You guys all know I'm an In-N-Out person, but I finally got a chance to go check out Whataburger, and you'll be surprised at what I found. It was absolutely astonishing, and it's going to be something that really helps drive home this idea of service. Now, sometimes service can hurt you. I'll explain that. I have talked a lot with service plumbing owners, with technicians that run calls. I've been on shop visits. I've exampled it. I've been on thousands of calls all across the country, even Canada and different places. And I've had the chance to really see and meet so many people, customers and employees and technicians and owners and managers and office staff. And it's really cool to see how unique people are and how much we are also at the same time patterns. We kind of follow suit. And so when we establish this kind of a team of good moral people that are trying to go out and service their community and do this kind of work, we set ourselves apart. We create a competitive advantage. We then become something that's desirable and is not often found. And the more desirable you are and the more in demand you are, because that's desirable, and then the less supply there is, meaning you're the only ones that provide that level of service, you separate yourself. You become a competitive advantage. You can then charge more. You can then offer more. You can then do so much more because the consumer trust is there and the consumers are willing to take your advice, take your opinion, take your expertise solutions. And again, when you recommend more, they'll do more. This is true for any industry. If you have a certain place that you like to do business and they make a recommendation, you're more likely to take that than if it's a new place or a place that you don't trust or don't know that well. That's pretty much common sense. I think we all understand that. And I experienced something that really drove this home when I went to Whataburger. And I was down in Alabama. I know a lot of you from Texas are big Whataburger people. In-N-Out's kind of a California place. It's grown. It's now up in Denver. It's up in Utah. It's up in all over the West Coast, and even out a little bit driving to the eastern portions of the West, where Arizona is, and maybe even Texas. I'm not 100% sure on that with In-N-Out Burger. I think they may have one in Texas, but maybe a couple. But in any case. You know, the idea here is this that we have this great product, this overwhelming product, and so many people argue back and forth, oh, you got to have the Whataburger, you got to have the Whataburger, you got to try it. And I've had the burger from In-N-Out. I mean, I have to have been to In-N-Out Burger now 100 times, 500 times, so many times. At one point, every time I went out west, I'd eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My brother over in La Mirada, California, there was a In-N-Out probably 4 or 5 minutes away. And I mean, 3 minutes away from his house, went there all the time. Animal style, double-double. Loved it. That's two patties, two cheese, and this unbelievable sauce mixed with grilled onions. And just so good. Just so good. So good. Okay. But I had never had a Whataburger. And I used to always say, you know, In-N-Out, 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 just based off the experience I had. You walk in there, there's always a line. The line moves fast, kind of like Chick-fil-A. And there's always, you know, I don't know, 438 employees in an 8x5 area. Everybody's doing something different. It's like an orchestra. It's beautiful. It's like synchronized fast food. It's crazy. It's like a song. And they got two different deals going, one for the front counter and one for the drive-thru. Employees outside, multiple employees outside taking orders. Now, I will say they were born and raised and established in Southern California, and so the weather there is amazing, so they got away with that for a long time, where just year-round, night and day, they could be outside. I'm sure that's not the case in Denver. It's cold there. But still have the same process, still have the same service, they still get the same experience. Now, Whataburger's got a whole different deal going. I'm gonna tell you, I went down to Alabama, and I'm waiting to think about this in regards to what you do for a living. If you're a service plumber and you're pulling up to the home, this is the part we're talking about. Walking up to the front door, maybe even the phone call with the CSR for the plumbing owners out there listening. Maybe it's your front office staff. Maybe it's the reputation online you have. Maybe it's the review they see. It's kind of the part we're talking about here in the very beginning. And me and my son, it was 9:08, 9:19, 9:18, I don't know, somewhere right in there, shortly after 9, everything's closed. They had this one sushi place that was open till 9:30. But we went in at 9. It was 9:08. We walked in and she said, oh, we close at 9 and then we clean from 9 to 9:30. I'm like, oh, okay. And I just, you know, I didn't say anything. But in my head, I'm thinking, like, why didn't you close at 9 and just clock everyone out at night, you know, have everyone clocked in or scheduled till 9:30? Why do you have to tell the public you're open till 9:30? Whatever. We had no choice. Taco Bell, is that a choice? It's not a choice. Taco Bell or Whataburger. So we went to Whataburger. I said, here's my chance. Birmingham, Hoover, Alabama, and I'm going to Whataburger. And I walk in, and literally, just like most places, 4 employees, maybe 5 employees. And there's 2 people who are at the self-checkout. There's 2 self-checkout kind of registers, and then there's a regular checkout with an employee behind it. And the two people already ordering were at the self-checkout, but they were talking to the employee behind the checkout. And I could only assume those 2 people who were also consumers were also employees who were off the clock based on the conversation they were having about an additional employee who was not present, who is obviously going through some personal things at home. And I'm now educated on those things within 10, 15 seconds of being inside this establishment that I've been hearing about for, I don't know, 8 years. I mean, everybody's got to go. You can't say In-N-Out's good until you go to Whataburger. So here I am in Whataburger, and I'm hearing about the mom and the sister that just moved back, trying to get information about an employee from an employee who's at the counter, talking to 2 people who are ordering food from the self-checkout, who probably work there because they obviously all know this person. And me and my son are standing there. We're actually wearing fresh sweatshirts. Bright blue. If you're watching this podcast on Spotify, you can see all the blue. Like, we're not hard to spot. We're standing right there at the register for a good 4 or 5 minutes, which is a long time to just be standing there when there's no line. But she was so focused on that conversation, she didn't even acknowledge us. Finally, my son coughed, not intentionally, not maliciously, just coughed. And she goes, oh, did you cough to get our attention? I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. So I said, no, he just has a cough. That's how I responded. We walked up to the counter, and just as we're walking up to the counter, which, by the way, is now only 2 more steps because we're standing right there the whole time, the manager or somebody in the back, I only know it's the manager because of what's said following this, but the person in the back screams out something like, did you do this? Did you do that? Or who did this? What's going on here? She then tells us, me and my son, oh man, she's so ghetto. That's our manager. She's ghetto. And I'm like, what? I'm sorry. It is what it is. And I'm like, what is going, this whole thing is ghetto. What is going on? Like, what is going on right now? And I'm just like looking at her. I'm looking at the 3 employees that are scattered, 1 at drive-through, 2 in the back on the line, 1's the manager. And I'm like, I don't think I want to eat here. Like, I don't think I want to, I'm not comfortable with this. How many times do we go to a home? How many times do we answer a phone call from a customer? And we do this. Circumstances can be different. It doesn't have to be employees talking with off-the-clock employees about other employees. It can just simply be any kind of thing that makes the consumer feel like you don't really care if they're there or not. I'm going to tell you right now, if the consumer doesn't feel like their desire to be there, if the consumer doesn't feel like you want to be there with them, they are not going to want to take advice from you. They're not going to consider or even entertain anything else outside of what they already believe to be true. They're going to become demanding in some fashion, maybe not aggressively, but in some fashion, meaning they may go, hey, I just want to focus on the toilet. Hey, I'm not really interested in that right now. I just want to get this thing taken care of. There's something you're doing has nothing to do with the plumbing. It has nothing to do with the fact that they do or don't need it. It has everything to do with the fact that they don't trust you. They don't have confidence in you. There's no consumer confidence. Very, very important thing to understand. You know, we got this new software coming out that diagnoses in the home, and it actually builds options right there in the moment. You can use it for training ahead of time. You can wait until after the call to plug in kind of everything that's wrong, and it'll break down based on how you interact with it and tell it how the call went, basically what's failing, what other things are failing just like it, that kind of stuff. It'll build out your options. It's pretty tight. We love it. We can't wait. It's coming out soon. In fact, if any of you guys want to get on a waiting list for it, we're going to do a free demo, early access, and we're going to even throw in some bonus tech trainings for you, your company. All you got to do is sign up on the waiting list, and we'll get you taken care of. But man, that software's coming out, and the point is that's going to help with consumer confidence. This idea, like, if you go to AutoZone, you don't have to trust the person behind the counter to believe that little tool that they plug into your car when it says that you have a P205, you know, sensor issue or some sort of coded issue that they look up later and tells them what's failing in the car. You believe that because of the software. That's called consumer confidence. You don't necessarily believe the individual. Just like when you go to the gas station, you don't have to know the gas station attendant. You don't have to know, like, and trust the gas station attendant to buy the gasoline. You need to know, like, and trust and have consumer confidence in the gasoline. So we'll make that purchase. Now, if that gas station attendant was to come out and try to advise us on either buying a more premium gas from them or maybe coming inside and buying some drinks or something inside, we'd have to then maybe know, like, and trust that gas station attendant to take that advice, to trust that advice, to have consumer confidence in that. So just to make that point, I didn't have any consumer confidence in the people that were about to make my food. So I left. So those of you that do want to get on that waiting list for that software that's coming out, all you have to do is go to software.theplumbingsalescoach.com. Software.theplumbingsalescoach.com. You put your email address in. That's all we need. We don't need your birthday. We don't need your social. We don't need your name. We don't need your credit card. Just need your email address. Plug that in, and then we'll email you information when it's ready, and we will be able to do let you know exactly what's going on with the software updates. I think we're going to add the ability to put your cell phone number in there so that we can text you that information as well, some video training, some bonus things, and then also once that's out, we're going to give you guys a free trial, early access to it. So that software is going to change the game. We cannot wait. If you want to raise your ticket averages or build consumer confidence so that you can diagnose further and more extensively in the home where the customer's not questioning your motives, and you need a tool or you want a tool to do that, get on that waiting list. It's going to change the game. Can't wait. This software basically does what I teach inside of the program. And we've seen people double, triple, quadruple. We see some silly things happen. $300, $400 ticket averages shooting up to $1,200 and $1,300, $1,400. Just on a one-on-one with a technician this morning, been in the program for a couple of years. Guy's averaging, he was an apprentice, didn't even know how to plumb. He's now can plumb. He can now run through. We don't teach the plumbing side. The company followed kind of our teaching on how to train faster with the plumbing, but we taught the service side of things as well as the process for training the plumbing. 2 years, he's rocking it. He's killing it. $1,200, $1,300 ticket average, 87% on conversion. It means 87 out of 100 customers do work with him. And on average of the 100 people he went and saw, even the zeros included, he averaged around $1,200, $1,300 worth of work each time on leaking shutoffs. Some of you are going to be like, oh, I bet he's lining sewer cells. No, he's not. Leaking shutoffs, faucets, fill valves, flappers, the basics. Just running the call the right way. The software will help you do that. Get on the waiting list. Software.theplumbingsalescoach.com. I tried to do that. What was that? Can't remember now. Yahoo.com. Yeah, that was Yahoo. Okay, look, what can we learn from Whataburger? Well, look, not anything about their food, because unfortunately I didn't make it that far. Okay, I'm one of the 13 that said no. How many have experienced that there? How many went ahead and ordered but didn't come back? What's the experience you're giving your customer at the front door? What's the experience you're giving your customer the way you drive to the job, through the neighborhood, parking, walking up to the house? When you walk through the door, what kind of energy are you bringing? Do you want to be there? Do you want to help them out? Do you want to give it your all? Are you fully bought in, or is this just another call? Is this just another person's problem? You know, Kobe Bryant said something that was just ridiculously wise and unbelievably selfless. Now, you may not like him, but just listen to this quote. They asked him, you know, why he plays every single game, even when he's injured. Why do you play through injury? And he said, you know, there's a lot of people that scrape up the money, save up the money, maybe over the course of a couple years, and then they buy one ticket, two tickets, whatever, for them and their kid to come to a game. And if that's the game I take off, that's just an injustice to them. And I was like, man, that's crazy. 82 games a year, through injury, still shows up every single time, never takes a night off, constantly shows up. Is that you? Every call? Because these people are only having these problems once every couple years. And quite honestly, by doing a little bit more, by really quite honestly diagnosing a little deeper and a little wider, and making sure that you're finding the root cause of things and you're solving the bigger issues and things also could go wrong with that. Not just that it's already failing, but what other things are just like that, that are also old, that are also enduring high water pressure, that are also enduring, you know, what are the other things that are going through the same problems, and what can you do to solve those as well while you're there? Because it's a lot cheaper and easier for you to do it on one visit than it is multiple visits over the course of a couple years. And assuming that, you know, from my experience, assuming that they're going to go through what most people go through, one of those things, if not multiple things, are going to fail in a way that causes bigger problems like water damage and restoration issues and just mold and whatever. Okay, we got to be diligent in this. But it all starts at that front door, okay? People make their decision within 3 seconds whether or not they trust you or not. That's something that we all do. Somebody can walk up to you off the street right away and you're like, ooh, my guard's up, or what can I do to help you? We all have the spidey sense, so to speak, the intuition to know whether or not there's danger in the person that's helping us. You need to deal with that immediately. You do it with a positive attitude. You do it with a professional appearance, and you do it with a consistent approach, considering them, empathy. Empathetic to their situation, understanding you're going into their environment with your expertise and your knowledge. That's what service is. It's the ability to make that connection for someone who needs a product or service, and then someone that can supply that product or service through expertise or being a part of the process. Even somebody who maybe is not a plumber like a CSR could be a part of that process. Somebody who's in the back office can be a part of that office, that process. Apprentices, everybody involved. We got to be diligent in this. We got to make sure that we're not just getting trained to be plumbers, but we're also getting trained to be service plumbers. Look, it all comes down to you giving somebody a quality experience. This is your moment to make an impact on them. They got a problem, they picked you. Are you going to go out there and give them a great experience? Or are you going to go out there and just run through the call and try to get through it as fast as possible? Look, I love you guys. Remember, as always, go out and serve your community and everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.